Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians. I think I promised that we would go after we're finished with Thessalonians. I wanted to teach Revelation and thought we better catch Thessalonians on the way through. So I think we're going to be teaching Revelation once we finish the book of 2 Thessalonians. Just so you know what you have forward to look to. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I know we've been here for a while, but there is a lot to unpack, so hopefully you're not getting too bored with that. Let's open up here. We're talking here at length about the passage where the Lord is talking about revealing the Antichrist. Covered last time that it says three times in this passage, he has yet to be revealed. We can pick it up in verse 8 and read. Then we'll get down to where we finished last time and pick back up. Then shall that wicked, capital W, so something, a special wicked, a man, manifest. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the workings of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. So we were careful to go through that last time, and you shouldn't just believe everything's authoritative that is supernatural that happens. Some of that supernatural can just as well be witchcraft. Amen? So be careful about getting led off astray by a manifestation of power, signs, and lying wonders. Down in verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth. Now that has to register, that they might be saved. And for this cause, for the cause which they did not receive the love of the truth, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now we need to talk about a good deal of that. As it says there in verse 10, because they received not the love of the truth, verse 11, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. I think I closed last time by talking about the fact the definition for delusion is a persistent false mental conception resistant to reason. Now we'll see later that you control whether you're reasonable or not. And so we need to talk about some of these things. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love and goodness to us. Part of the promise, Lord, that you've given us is the promise of a sound mind. I know that there are things that chemically and physiologically go wrong sometimes. These are diseases. And Father, that's part of just for the fallen nature. But Father, in the meantime, you've given us a leg up in matters of spirit. And Father, lost folks really don't have any kind of a promise for a sound mind. And so, Lord, I pray you might help us to exercise ourselves fully. Things can still happen. And we know that, again you have allowed diseases into our lives. But at the same time, we also know that there are promises that we have here to cling to and to exercise ourselves in. So I pray you might help us in that. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. So picking up where we left off, that whole delusion issue, we'll talk about reason later because that comes up a little bit later in the chapter. But if a delusion is a false mental concept resistant to reason, okay, God shall send them strong delusion. There's a couple things that are peremptory to this. Now you see it here and we'll talk more about it in a minute, but the idea of loving the truth, in verse 10, they received not the love of the truth, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. So the first encouragement for anybody is you need to love the truth instead of lies, right? And I know that as crazy as it sounds to a sane person, there are folks that would rather hear a certain brand or a certain strain of lies or lies in a certain topic they don't want to address the truth in. Sometimes folks would rather hear a lie than the truth. What would lead somebody, I know there's a spiritual element to it, And I know we keep talking about it. Look, the reason we keep talking about it is because I'm a farm boy. And there are things that anybody that was raised on a farm or around dogs and cats knows. And for a generation, at least a segment of that generation, to accept the fact that there is 57 genders, well, that's crazy. But even accepting that there are three or four is nuts. Somebody has spent way too little time on the farm, way too little time around dogs and cats and just watching what happens in nature. But what is that when somebody is so apoplectic about the fact that people like us believes, nope, there's only two, boys and girls, sorry. What would lead somebody to be apoplectic about that? Well, for one, they're unreasonable. For two, they may be demon-possessed. But for three, they sure don't want the truth. And they're sure not reasonable. And so there's an issue. Now, there's a couple of things that lay down the foundation for a sound mind. And without going into just the... You know, I like this subject because once you get in the Word of God, it is way, way broader than people give it the Bible credit for. There is so much in the Bible. By the time you combine what the Bible says about mind, heart, spirit, reason, wisdom, understanding, you have a textbook that nobody has fully digested yet. And all that that book says about those that subject, that broad, multi-categorical subject, is all true. And it came from God. And it's a revelation. It's not something you're going to discover in a laboratory. This is all the Spirit of God showing you the truth about some things that you have a hard time tracking because you can't just put your mind under a microscope and study it. Right? So let me take you back to Romans 1. There's one thing here. I know you guys know this, but it ought to be rudimentary to any Bible believer. And since the world has gone completely bonkers and nuts, and then you need to be reminded that what you have here is a treasure, right? First of all, you know that down towards the end of Romans 1, you have this issue of somebody being given over to a reprobate mind. And in that process, in verse 28, the process that leads to that is a shift into the homosexual mindset. Okay, now there's no other book in the world that tells you where the homosexual passions come from. Okay, go to psychiatry, fine, and, you know, philosophy, fine, but the book is the one that shows you. And so just so you know where it starts, I know everybody here probably knows the answer, verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, a lot of modern day folks don't like the verse because it says that people by nature, by conscience, know some stuff that they claim nobody knows. I'm not calling God a liar. And according to this, the invisible things of Him, the invisible things. So it's not scientific. It's not scientific in the sense that you can prove it by looking in a microscope or a telescope, or prove it in a lab. The invisible things of him, from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Okay, so something invisible is clearly seen, so you must see it another way. You have to see it by faith. You see it by understanding. You see it by a knowledge granted to you by someone who can't be seen, and which you can't detect how exactly he gets the information to you other than knowing that you read it, right? I mean, so where you're going to stumble, where most folks today have stumbled, is that from the start, they hold the Bible as something of a disreputable entity that they're not quite sure that they can believe or not. And so they're going to allow it, they're going to allow whether it seems reasonable to them or not to dictate whether what that book said is true. You start playing with that stuff, and you're playing with your own stinking fallen mind, which may, as we'll see later, be corrupted, polluted. It may be weak. It may just not want the truth. And so if you're not careful, you get off track really, really fast, because this thing all starts with the book. The Bible says something about things that you can't see or prove. And you can clearly see it by faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But if you're not going to go by faith, and by the way, everybody goes by faith, nobody can prove evolution works. In fact, it's antithetical to reason that, I mean, somewhere along the way in evolution, something started by spontaneous generation, if evolution is true. Go back to step number one, there had to be spontaneous generation. And we know that things don't spontaneously generate. I'm sorry, a rock doesn't come alive. I'm sorry, but grass doesn't become a cognizant thinking being. And neither do gophers or moles or something like that. The point is if you're not willing to start with the Bible, you'll start with some other false concept, because all men walk by faith. Faith cometh by hearing. The right kind of faith cometh by hearing, and the right kind of hearing comes through the Word of God. There you have the foundation. But you believe anything that you believe by faith. Now why do people go to college and spend, $200,000? They're being programmed. and somebody's teaching them something that they're supposed to believe in. And they have different, ways of convincing, but anybody that believes anything believes it by faith. You are not, you're not so thorough intellectually that you have found out everything that you believe all by your little old self. I mean, you've tested every single theory and you know it's true because you proved it to yourself. Nobody does that. You believed your mama about something and your drunken uncle about something else. You believe a priest about something. You believe the news about something. You believe the internet about some things. Right? Okay, what happens when the Bible says, well, that's wrong? Well, it ought to automatically switch for you. We all recognize that we have fallen sources of faith, things that we believe. So if you won't be corrected, though, that's when you get in trouble. I know that went off for a long time, so I'll get back to it. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So that is saying that the creation, that is saying that butterflies and another low-life creature, a mouse, knows more about God's power and Godhead than somebody who believes evolution. And they have no real cognizant capabilities, right? But you never find them questioning. So we're without excuse. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, what they knew of God that they could know, that their conscience had showed them, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You know that by the time, that's the first time that the mind is given over to something. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. So now they've been given up a couple times already through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And there we go. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie, worshipped and served the creature more than the creator. So you have movies that make all the little animals, thinking, cognizant, conscious, loving creatures. There's Bambi. And there's the rabbit that was Twitter-pated. Disney. Okay, those are conceptualizing, anthropomorphizing animals to have characteristics of people. I'm sorry, you're the little poodle that you dress in a sweater, it does not understand you. It still licks its backside. Okay? They're animals. And so when you allow that to take over, you know, pretty soon you turn up weird or you're afraid to eat a hamburger because something had to die. You're going to eat something that died. And you just raise that chicken in a horrible chicken house to feed you eggs. What a low-life moral being you are. That's not true. Plainly, that's somebody being led astray, God giving somebody over, and you know, as they gives it over, it becomes more and more, what it emphasizes is more and more, quote unquote, homosexual. And that's where this comes from. It comes from when God showed you something that you knew naturally and cognizantly, conscientiously, and didn't acknowledge him as God, didn't glorify him as God, then when you quit living, you know, by what you knew to be true that God had showed you, you started telling yourself lies and the Lord let you go. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which is meat. And that recompense is you kind of get crazier and crazier. Right? I mean, by the time you, folks, I'm sorry, I'm the old guy now. But by the time you link together, you know, people who think that you've got to save the polar bears and the spotted owls at all costs, and then you start holding up something simple like a apartment construction project because there's some sort of something that lives in the swamp behind it, and you're going to mess up its habitat. I'm talking about a slug or a worm or a bug. All right? Look, when you start changing your life because you want to save the bugs, you know you're crazy. And, you know, when you, you know, obviously people have dietary problems and all that, but when you can't eat something because you look at it as a living creature with feelings. I'm sorry, turkeys and chickens don't have feelings. They were created for us to eat. And by the time you then flip over to saving, you know, saving the environment so that you have to gin up false data so that you can prove that there's a crisis. Yeah. And then by the time you say there's 57 genders, there is something wrong with you. And you can't be trusted in your judgments about much of anything. I'm just saying. And here you have now, I know this started in a way different place. Okay, for this cause God shall give them strong delusion because they didn't believe the truth. Okay, in this case, they didn't accept what God consciously showed them so that they could know. And they didn't, they weren't thankful, they didn't glorify God. And so that road is the entry path to being, to having, I didn't read it, did I? Verse 28. Even as they did not, did you notice, like to retain. Well, I didn't like that sermon. I didn't like that lesson. I didn't like that guy. I don't like that preacher. I don't like that kind of preaching. I don't like that Bible. I like that Bible. As they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Can it be as simple as that? That people just don't like the right stuff. Your mama, if she was decent, made you eat broccoli and carrots, whether you liked it or not. because those things contain what's good for you on various levels. We won't go into all that. We're going to get off into child raising here in a second, and it's probably too broad a subject for the morning, right? But just think about the fact that they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, that God gave them over. Now, it's not just a slightly off-kilter mind, a reprobate mind. Now, we'll see him later through this, but more than once in the New Testament, a corrupt mind, a corruptible mind. Okay, when something is reprobate, first of all, that implies a moral component. If the mind is reprobate, it means that God's rejected it because it's not thinking right. And so God says, okay, you want to think that way? Help yourself. Okay? That's a reprobate mind. By proxy, I need to maybe go over this sometime, but in Jeremiah, it defines reprobate as God having rejected it. So it's possible for you to think in a way that God rejects and says, have at it. As they did not like to retain God and their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Now, again, twice that I know of that I recall, somebody has a corrupt mind. Okay, that's a mind that's had junk thrown in it and it's not processing right. Okay? And so if you got preoccupied in thinking about one thing, and when somebody tries to interject something, you reject it because it doesn't match what you've what you've already come to, and what you're rejecting is true, then that's a corrupt mind. It's a mind that's not reasonable. It's a mind that's not processing right, right? So if reprobate implies moral, something morally wrong, corrupt implies that there's something that went wrong in the process of thinking. Okay, well, can you see that that's not a playground you want to play in, right? So first of all, this thing with being turned over to a reprobate mind, but more importantly, because they didn't receive the love of the truth, the Lord shall send them strong delusion. Okay, first thing was Romans 1, that when you're not thankful and don't glorify God as God, and when you are rejecting what lions, tigers, bears, cattle, and horses never rejected once, like there are two genders, then something's going terribly wrong, and it's because you didn't glorify God and you weren't thankful. Now, the other part of that, the other sideline, the other basis of this is not having a love for the truth. Now, let me walk you through that. You can see here in this passage, verse 10 again. I don't know how far we're going to get off this morning, but I don't know about you, but I'm tired of this nuts world we live in. And sometimes I guess I can probably be kind of nuts myself. But I'm ready to get out of this insanity. And surely you get tired of having nonsense shoved at you. Unless you've started to kind of develop a taste on the outer fringes for some of the nonsense, and maybe you're growing to like it too much. Right? Well, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Therefore, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You got to be careful about falling into some of the addictions the world wants to lead you into. Some of those addictions have nothing to do with drugs. Some of those addictions have everything to do with what you entertain yourself with, what you lean on for information. I mean, look, really, if there comes a question, is the first thing that comes up in your mind what God says, or do you just automatically Google it? And did you pray at all, or did you just Google it? Now, I know I don't know what the capital of Madagascar is, so I'd be likely to Google that, okay? I don't know if there's a moral component to that. But surely you can see there's a danger where folks become so dependent on something that's at their fingertips all the time And rather than coming to a general knowledge that everybody understood some, you know, not that many years ago, all of a sudden, your final authority is being able to push a button or say Siri and speak into a phone and an answer comes back. You realize how weird that is to every generation of people that has ever lived, except for the last couple, right? I'm 65, and all this came to pass in my lifetime. There used to not be, I was in the ministry before there was ever an internet. Now, I know some of you think, whoa, you are really old. But there was a day that I didn't have, I mean, I depend a good bit on a Bible program on my home computer, well, my iPad too, for that matter, where I can type in a phrase or a sequence of words and find the verses that have those. It's very handy, right? Well, in the beginning, back when the dinosaurs still roamed, I had to open up a book that was as big as this Bible and burn my eyes out looking in a Strong's Concordance for one word at a time. And then there came a day that they had the little, I forget what they call them now, Bible man or bookman thing, where it's just a little individual computer. You carry it around like a calculator and you could punch in a word and it would give you that. Well, now they have big, you know, they have Bible programs and you can type in any phrase. It'll track any series of words that you want to have it track. And it's really handy. But that is new stuff that's almost totally new, well, since my generation began. So I don't know how many other generations are represented here, two or three, you know, mother to father, father to son, and all that kind of stuff. But in all the foundation of the world, that's only been available the last 50 years, right? Okay, and so now everybody in the world, it seems like, is dependent upon Siri or Google. And instead of turning to prayer in the Bible or exercising the mind and memorizing some data, everybody is just laying back. And I mean, we're talking about couch potatoes here mentally. Where, you know, you just accept an answer that somebody you don't even know says is true. Just off the bat, right? Now, do you really think that's good? And so, where am I? Oh, yeah. You have to love the truth, right? So they receive not the love of the truth. So how important is this to the Lord? First of all, let me take you in a couple of places, and then we have some stuff to chase down. Notice in Isaiah 66, you need to make sure and keep the Lord first, because he's given us the power of love and of a sound mind. That is there's a supernatural element to you keeping a sound mind and heart. And if you start dilly-dallying, you see here in 2 Thessalonians 2 that because they did not receive the love of the truth, that the Lord sent them strong delusion. Now, a delusion, again, is a persistent false mental concept resistant to reason. So you're that person then when somebody says, could we just sit down and talk for a second? And you say, no, I have my mind made up. I'm tired of you shoving that down my throat. Blah. So no, I find all kinds of people. You realize how cool it would be if the public, I would keep office hours if this worked. If the public lined up at the door and said, sit down with me at a desk and present me the truth. I would do that all day long, every day. As it is, you have a hard time finding somebody that will allow you to sit down and open a Bible. and reason with them from the Bible. We got to get back to reason later, but because they've accepted their own mental concept that is resistant to reason, it's a delusion. And I said that God sends them strong delusion. So there's plenty of stuff in this world that the Lord would likely protect you from with a good conscience, right? A right heart, the right information you have in your mind, knowing what to reject, knowing that guy on the internet, that on YouTube, is going down the wrong track, right? Just knowing that. But when all of your defenses are down, then the Lord lets some stuff in because you're not listening to Him saying, reject that, reject that. And so it says in Isaiah chapter 66, and this is for Israel, and it's for Israel who rejected God, but you now have a Christianity that's rejecting God's word. And so it would apply. Look at verse... verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye shall build unto me? Talking about the literal house. Verse 2. For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit. So he's willing to be reproved, right? And notice, and trembleth at my word. And so when God speaks, the guy goes, oh, I didn't know that. You know, I'm believing something else, but oh, now that I know that God said that, okay, I gotta change. I gotta process this, right? Okay, there's the guy, verse 3. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He's saying there that your sacrifices aren't acceptable because you're not of a man of a contrite spirit. You don't tremble at my word. You don't have a poor and contrite spirit. Verse 3, he that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. A dog is, you know, under Mosaic law, not acceptable sacrifice. He that offereth as oblation as if he offered swine's blood, not acceptable, right? He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen, notice, their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. And notice God made a judgment there. When you go your own way, guess where you wind up? Guess what category your works wind up in? Okay, don't guess. Look at the verse. Where do they wind up? It winds up abomination. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. So when you have a scientific community, a philosophical community, an educational community, a community of various experts in science, sociology, culture, et cetera, and they are rejecting the Bible, and they are consorting together and figuring out a plan for the betterment of mankind, where do you wind up? When you leave God out of it and you can't be reproved, where do you wind up? You wind up an abomination. What you have produced is something abominable before God, right? Look at the United Nations. Look at any government-run entity. Look at the World Health Organization and what they did a few years back, right? And tell me that what they did was right. No, it's not right. 6 feet, really? Who set that standard? A mask that I can smell through. How does that help? Because the disease that's trying to get me and kill me is smaller than the smell molecule that I'm smelling through the mask. You got BO? I'm sorry. That's bigger than the virus that's trying to get me. So, what good? You've been deluded and run. Now, I'm not there yet. Verse 3, the end of the verse. So, they've chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. I also will choose their delusions. Now, God shall send them strong delusions. He said, so I'm going to start stepping in and giving them delusion. I'm going to choose their delusion. So you need to love the truth. Because if you don't, God's going to let you have some information that you should have known to reject, but you didn't. And so there you are. Right? With that stated, let me take you to 1 Kings 22. Now, people wrestle a little bit with how this exactly works, but what you should just got to keep in mind as a foundation is you have to love the truth, and you have to respond in gratefulness and thankfulness at the truth that something God's shown you, that God has shown you, that you can verify through the Bible, right? If you can't be thankful for that, and if you can't glorify God in that, and if you reject that truth, if you don't even want the truth, you are in big trouble in this life. Because I promise you, there's a whole bevy of entities, of sources that want to give you the wrong stuff. There's only one source that really wants to give you the right stuff, and that's God and who He controls. As far as who controls the evolutionary scientists, well, that's not God at all. So who is it? You say, well, it's Himself. Okay, fair enough. He's part of the world. Who runs that? It's the devil. Doesn't it say that latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils? Haven't we shown that when somebody speaks, there's a spirit ministered? That's what Job said, right? Okay, so if somebody's telling a lie, there's a spirit behind the lie. Now, it may be a man's own spirit, but somewhere in there, the devil gets involved. Or a devil gets involved, right? So I'm sorry, I'm tracking down many paths here this morning, keeping some things, you know, in line with what we're trying to show, but you're far more vulnerable than you ever imagined. And, you know, you can't even trust your own mind at a certain level. You need a place to go that, okay, no matter what, I know if I go here, I'm going to get the truth. If I go to YouTube for truth, it might be truth. It might be a lie. And it might be any percentage of the combination of it. I go to a Bible commentator. I mean, the Bible I can believe. But the commentator, you got to be careful. You say, isn't that the truth with YouTube preacher? It is. That's why you should have a Bible in your lap open instead of me flashing verses on a sign behind me with a bouncy ball. And I get to prove whatever I want because anybody can take Bible out of context. But I'm not doing that. And the only way you know I'm not is by having it in front of you and checking it out. So, okay. Pick up where I left off. Delusion. I said 1 Kings 22, did I not? Do that. 1 Kings 22. All right, Jehoshaphat and Ahab are planning to go to battle together. Jehoshaphat shouldn't, but Ahab wants to, so he says, sure, I can go. And should we go? Well, go ask the prophets. He asked 400 of Ahab's prophets, and Ahab's prophets say, oh yeah, go. The Lord's going to give you a mighty victory. And Jehoshaphat has a conscience about this, so that's the first warning. And verse 7, and Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord? I mean, you gave me your circus performers, but can't we get one from God? So right away, you know, something's wonky, right? Right away, when you go to church and the guy that's preaching doesn't believe the book and proves that he doesn't believe it, by going to Greek or Hebrew and telling you what it really means, that ought to be right there something that's like, I don't want this. Because Jehoshaphat says, oh, something's not right here. So don't you have a real prophet? Verse 7. Now we might inquire of him. The king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me. Yeah, buddy, it's all about you, ain't it? If I don't minister to you just the way you want to be ministered to on Mother's Day, you don't want nothing to do with it. It doesn't matter if what I say is true or not. Right? I mean, I believe in a positive gospel. You shouldn't mention hell. It's all about the love of Jesus. That's not true. And so here, I hate him, for he doth not prophesy concerning me, good concerning but evil. Okay, there's a guy that doesn't want the truth. He wants it his way. He wants to be told what he wants to be told. They heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They have an itch. They want the itch scratched. And so they choose people, hire people, pay people to teach them what they want to hear instead of the truth. See how clear the Bible cuts down to the bone and stuff? See, that's what I like about the Bible is you're going to throw fluff at the Bible, it's going to cut right through it, man. It's just so anyway, you have this situation, and so what's going to happen now? Well, king called Micaiah, the son of Imlah, who happened to be in prison because he had spoken so frankly, down in the guard tries to convince him to say something nice. The messenger, verse 13, that was gone to call Micaiah, spoken to him, saying, behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. I mean, they all agree, so there's no reason you can't agree with them. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, that what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. He didn't agree, right? And so it goes on down through here, and verse 15. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? He answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Now here is Micaiah saying that. But King Ahab knows something squirrely. Because this guy, he said it too flippantly. There was a tone in his voice where he knew that Micaiah was playing with him. So verse 16, the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? Well, we just learned that he doesn't want to hear anything that's not good concerning himself. So going on down, I know how you know how this works. Verse 18. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? And so Micaiah then says, and he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said in this manner, and another said in that manner. So here is the Lord having conversation with spirits. And it says, verse 21, and there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets. Now, I know that there's an issue here where, you object because a holy God is given credit for putting a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets, dispatching him to do so. But don't forget Romans 1, all right? Didn't glorify God, didn't want the truth, doesn't really want to hear it. It's not thankful. And don't forget, you know, don't forget 2 Thessalonians 2. He did not set his heart on the truth, didn't want the truth from the start, has rejected over and before and again the Lord speaking in truth. And so now he wants to hear what he wants to hear. And the Lord says, okay, fine. He said, help yourself. Spirit comes and Spirit makes a suggestion. He said, help yourself. And then the Bible gives the Lord credit for putting that Spirit in his mouth, but the Spirit went and did it himself, right? You have to balance some stuff and wrestle with some things. Here is David being tempted by Satan to number Israel. On the other hand, it gives the Lord credit for being angry at Israel, and so he let David do it. Okay? So I know, you know, when the devil tempted Job, it's the devil trying to get Job killed. But the Lord said that, How did he phrase that? Let me just check it. Look in Job 1. I didn't expect to go down that route, so I didn't check. There we go. 2:3. This is the second meeting with the devil and the Lord over this Job matter. Devil's already, for the most part, destroyed Job's life. In verse 3, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movedst me against him to destroy him without cause. Now it was the devil. It was the devil that did it. But the devil talked the Lord into allowing him to do it. So it's the Lord controlling the devil's leash. The devil says, give me a little more leash. And so the Lord gives him a couple of more lengths of leash. And the Lord acknowledges his culpability in that. But it's still not God deceiving, trying to destroy Job. It's not God himself deceiving the prophets. It's a spirit being given leash to do so. Why would God do that? Because Ahab didn't want the truth, and at the moment, apparently, Jehoshaphat didn't either. So I'm just saying, when you're willing to go to a point where you, fellowship with a lie, consider a lie as a distinct possibility, and the Lord's shown you it's a lie, it's wrong, that's dangerous ground. And I'm just telling you that, you know, we have to shut down here in a second, and we'll pick back up next time, and I won't be so long next time, because we're getting there now. But you have to love the truth. And if you don't love the truth, and what is the truth? The truth is the Bible. So where you are willing to accept some guy who's educated beyond his capabilities, and you're afraid to doubt him because he is so much smarter and better educated than you, you've just given up the ship. Because what God did for the common man was put a Bible in his lap. And if the guy who has 4 degrees and has made a living doing nothing but that for a long time, he's a scholar, he's an academic, you know, he's got tenure, he can't even be fired. And you let him dictate truth to you against what you hold in your lap. See, this is the ruler. This is the measuring instrument. This is the truth tester. This is the truth. This is the real dollar bill that you test all the counterfeit dollar bills against. You can feel them, right? So this is the truth. And if you cease to love the truth and cease to measure by the truth, my words, you get what's coming to you. The Lord didn't say that, but he operates along that line. You get what's coming to you. If you want to sow that field, you're going to get deceived. And I wish I had better news. But the great news is, you got the truth. And most people in this building have been trained in the truth for a long time. You come and hear it all the time, and I readily, all the time, I welcome you to test me. Do not say, are there any questions? Is the door not open? Come in. Hey, Pastor, you said, because some folks have come and said, now, Pastor, you said, did you mean, well, no, I meant this, and here's why, and blah, blah, blah. We can do that. That's the way this is supposed to work. And because in a multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Sorry, I'm going to stand up here and say something wrong sometimes because my brain is wonky. And so if it needs to be checked, let's check it. And, oh, that's not what I meant. I meant this. Okay, I said that wrong, whatever. But here's where we're at, right? And we can go in there and take care of it. We can stay out here and take care of it. And it's all good. We've done that. I've done that for 40 years. Just don't be suckered by a lie. Just don't be suckered. Don't settle for it. And because if you do, you get what's coming to you. Right? For a lost guy, it winds up in hell. For a saved guy, it winds up as an unpleasant experience at the judgment seat of Christ. All right. That's all I got this morning. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this morning.